Today's reading is from Jonah chapter 2. Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed has wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be gathered once more in your name, worshiping you, and mostly during that day where we are remembering our mothers. Some of them are already gone at your side, some others are here, and others are somewhere in their families taking care of their daily task, of their children. And we know that how many of them are still abused, beaten all around the world, and still realize that their role in the family is still misunderstood. Without them, we won't be here. And we know that they are central for the education and raising of our children, and mostly within the Christian values and moralities where men very often fall short of all this, stating we don't have time for it. But we know that even around us, families are being shattered. You instituted this unity of the family, and you are the head of it, and we know that this is the thing which is the most important in our life. We thank you for them and ask you to bless each one of them and give them the courage to keep standing firm for your teaching and mostly to show the good example. I ask you to open our minds and hearts so that we can get the most important of today's message. Bless our pastor and let this day be another occasion for us to renew our commitment to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
It was between 800 and 750 before Christ. God called Jonah and asked him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, about 500 miles northeast of Nazareth. Today, that area, that city is called Mosul in Iraq. To warn these people there that the countdown had already started for this great city of about 600,000 people. There were 6 weeks left before the destruction, unless they repented. Now, this is a continuation of our last week's message. Last week we said that God called Jonah to go and visit Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was not a Jewish center, was not a European center, was a center where our human history actually started, around Nineveh and around that area, Iraq. And God, being a loving and compassionate creator, He didn't care whether they were called Jews or whatever they were called, or Ninevites, or Armenians, or Greeks, or whatever. He wanted, He loved these people, and He wanted Jonah to go and preach to them about the living God. And to tell them that God had seen the corruption, had seen the murders, and seen the life that was so corrupt, that had made God decide to destroy that city. And He said, in so many days, that city, 6 weeks, that city will be destroyed. But Jonah was unwilling to go to Nineveh and jumped on a ship to get away from God. But very quickly found out that although he could run away from God, he could not hide from God. We can always pretend that we are running away from God, and yet we cannot hide from God. No matter where you go, God is there. God brought a terrible storm, and the ship was about to sink. Jonah admitted to the sailors that he was the cause of this, and told the terrified sailors to throw him overboard to save their lives. And the sailors reluctantly did just that. They threw him in the stormy sea. Then the sea immediately became a very calm sea. Chapter 1 ends this way. And I'm quoting the end of chapter 1. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah actually is mentioned not only in Christian circles or in Christian religion, but in the Quran we read about Jonah's life. Jonah in the Quran is called Dulnan, or otherwise, another name would be the dweller in the fish. Chapter 2 is about Jonah's awesome experience inside this great fish. There are those who cannot believe this is a true story. They say, how can anyone survive in the belly of a great fish? So I ask. And I was writing this, when I was writing this, I thought about stories or situations, or is it possible for a human being to be in the belly of a great fish, dark and a lot of liquid and stuff, and then I believe this is something that you may want to look into. I thought of a baby in the womb of a mother. Now, have you ever thought of that? Not 3 nights, 3 days, but for 9 months, at least 7, whatever months it takes for that baby to come out, lives in a place and is a very dark and lonely place. And yet, we never question that. How is that? How can that baby breathe? How can that baby survive? How? And yet we may say, well, this is a miracle. Well, of course it's a miracle. The baby in the belly of the mother, animal or human, is a miracle. So it is a miracle. It was a miracle with Jonah. What is the big deal? Why is it that they're arguing and they're questioning and they're fighting about the truth? I met a pastor once and he said, I'm liberal. I said, he said, are you liberal? I said, well, no, actually, what do you mean liberal? I'm a believer, true believer in God. And he said, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. I don't believe and Jonah 3 days in the belly of the fish. And I said, are you a pastor? He says, yes, yes. All these are examples. Now, how can you talk about a living God who created everything and controls everything, not being able to take a big fish? It wasn't a whale, actually. It was a big fish. The Bible says a big fish. And tell him, okay, open up your mouth, swallow this guy, and I'm going to take care of the rest. So he did exactly that. And Jonah was now in the belly of a fish. Jonah finally realized that the disobedience had brought him to this awful place. Jonah, in despair, felt that he had been banished, driven away from God's sight. Yet, it wasn't too late for Jonah, as it is never too late for you and for me to pray, no matter what the circumstances are. As a matter of fact, the fish was Jonah's shelter and not his punishment. Jonah, convinced he was about to die, he cried out to God and said, I will look again toward your holy temple. The path of disobedience often looks so attractive at first, but sadly only when it seems too late to realize, do we realize the awful dangers to which disobedience leads each one of us. Jonah was running away from God, but now he finds himself trapped in the belly of a fish, going nowhere. In desperation, he turns to God in prayer. A strange place to pray. A very strange place to pray. Not a place someone would choose to pray, but it was where he was, and that was the place to pray. And God heard him. Sometimes you may be in a bus, and you bow your head and pray. You may be anywhere. Prayer is communicating with God. Some people pray once a while. Other people pray every day once. Others pray 5 days, 5 times a day or 7. The Bible says we must always pray, continually pray. Prayer is acknowledging our Creator. Prayer is acknowledging that He loves each one of us. Prayer means that we believe that He listens to us, hears our prayers. And so Jonah finally came to the place of prayer. God hears us anywhere and anytime. It is better to pray where you are, where we are, than wait until we find a better place or a better time. I believe the most spontaneous prayers have been when you are driving fast and another car is about to hit you. You pray, you say, God, oh my God, help me. Or your child is bleeding and you turn to God and pray. You don't say, okay, I'm going to wait until everything is done and then I'm going to go and sit down, come on my knees. No, you just pray where you are. And Jonah did exactly that. Jonah prayed because he was in trouble and distress. When you are running away from God, you cannot pray. How can you pray to God when you actually have turned your back to the living God? Now, actually, people have stopped praying. People have stopped going to places of worship, the church or wherever, because they say, well, they are full of hypocrites. Well, obviously, even hypocrites are allowed to live and breathe until they face the judgment of God. And yet, each one of us is accountable to the living God. Each one of us will face God, regardless what you call yourself, a Baptist, a Protestant, a Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Hindu, Muslim, or... Yesterday, a young man came to our work, to the place of work, our place of work, and I started talking with him. And he said, my wife gave him a little tract, and he said, yeah, okay. And I started talking to him. He said, well, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I said, well, actually, it's harder for you to prove that there is no God than for me to prove that there is a God. And he then started talking. And I said, because wherever I look, I see God, God's presence. But what? And we went on and on. And he says, actually, my uncle was a Methodist pastor. He was half Mexican, half Ukrainian. So there was the blend, of the interesting blend. And he said, my uncle was a Methodist pastor, my mother was a believer, my father was an unbeliever, so I'm confused, so I choose not to believe. Well, this is the problem with religion in general. Any religion that practices religion but does not connect the human heart with God is in trouble. And I believe the human heart is searching to find God no matter where he goes. He's looking for, we may not admit it, even this atheist young man at the end, he said it was a pleasure talking with me, and he stayed for a long time. Even though he's an atheist, he wanted to hear what I had to say. And I believe people in general want to hear what we know about God. And if what we know about God is religion, then we are in trouble. And what we know about God is churchianity, religiosity, then we are in trouble. But if what we know is the living God, and we have connected with the living God, not because we are worthy, not because we are able to reach all the way high up there, but because he reached all the way down here and touched my heart. Jonah prayed because he was in trouble. He had stopped praying for some time. When you are running away, when you have a fight with your wife or husband or your parents or your children, and you leave home, you can't pray for them. The only prayer you make, have mercy on them, and you can't really pray to God for someone that we're running away from. He was running away from God and his commitment to him. He was neglecting his spiritual responsibilities. He was being selfish and stubborn. He was sleeping during the storm when everyone else was trying to help. He was being disobedient to God. And he was being disciplined by God. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we read in those, at least these few verses describe his near-death experience. I mean, if there is a near-death experience, Jonah should be the one talking about his near-death experience in the belly of a fish for 3 nights and 3 days. And he can speak to God, and God can listen to him, and God answers his prayers and brings him on. That is near-death experience, and that's the truth. And we read, from the depths of the grave, he says, you hurled me into the deep. The currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. What a place to be. What an awful mess, all because he refused to obey God. This picture, I believe, may represent the life of many in trouble or distress today. I believe that many, maybe one of you, maybe many of you, feel that they are in a very messy place. Family problems, relationship problems, children problems, health problems, doubts about spirituality, doubts about the other person, unable to deal with someone in the family. All these things, unable to deal with some of the habits we have developed, or you have developed some things that you cannot quit. And all, you raise your voice to God and say, please help me. You know, I've said many times to those who believe that there is no God, they believe that there is no God, you still need faith. I tell them this, go home and say, if there is a God, if you are there, please listen to me. I have trouble in finding you and believing in you. Can you reveal yourself to me? And I said, I guarantee you, if you are willing to listen now, not argue, if you are, God will reveal himself to you. And he does. If we would only speak to God before making a wrong choice, he would save us from a lot of trouble. When you meet someone, a single person, if you are a single person, you meet someone and you fall in love because he is good looking, handsome, healthy looking, she looks so beautiful, and you say, okay, thank you God for bringing me this young lady. He says, wait, I didn't bring her there. And she just, we must speak to God before we take any decisions. Because God may have other better plans for us. And that's exactly what God had for Jonah. Jonah prayed and looked to God when his life was coming to the end. No more running, no more spiritual deafness. He was like the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son? The prodigal son had everything going for him. He had a nice father. He had, I'm sure, a nice mother. He had a nice home, rich. Everything was going for him. I believe probably what he wanted was freedom. He wanted to go with the guys out there or the girls out there, experience sex, experience drugs, experience this, experience that. And his father was telling, no, son, wait. And he just took off and took whatever he could with him, and he went. And he really, really enjoyed himself for a little time, short time. And he wasted all his time. He had friends before he wasted his time. And then when he found himself in the belly of a fish, although it wasn't the belly of the fish, he was among the pigs, stinking and dirty and filthy pigs. And he was eating now from the same food as the pigs. And he turned again to God and talked to him, and then went back home to his father. And just like the prodigal son, he turned to God when things became hopeless. Then and only then remembered God. And he said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Now, he is ready to worship and serve God. And so he cries out to God, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. If only he had said these things before he chose to run away from God, things would have been so different. He now realized that God is his only hope and salvation. Now, what was the mission once again? His mission was to go and preach or warn his enemies, their enemies. The Ninevites were cruel men, history tells us. When we read that they would be like barbarians and they would kill him, do all kinds of things. And Israel, or the children of Israel, or Jonah, hated them. And yet God chose one of them to send them to these people over there, the pagans, as they were called, to bring them into the family of believers. Now, this is the kind of God we worship. And people say, you know, when this young man said yesterday to me also, well, I mean, I have a tough time believing in Jesus and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I said, believe me, I have a tough time too. We all have. We cannot analyze God and and dissect him into little pieces and then present him to you. Either I'm, and I always say this, you heard me so many times, if I could do that, I would either be a god or God would be a human being so I can sort of explain him. But I said, I believe in one living God. One God who has created each one of us and loves each one of us. Now, when you read the Bible, it starts in plural and says, let us create man in our image. When you read the Quran, it says also in plural, it speaks of many things that they have decided, or at least God has decided. And so for us to explain, we'll have to use human understanding. But the Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. And God very graciously answers Jonah's prayers. When Jonah was thrown in the sea, God saved him from drowning by providing a great fish. And when Jonah was about to give up hope inside the fish, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Only our God of miracles could do that. Jonah was saved from certain death, and now he was back to the road to Nineveh. Jonah now was a true change. He had a change of heart. Now he is willing to return to the Lord. Now he is willing to submit to God's will. The problem very often is that we refuse to submit to God. And I'm not talking about submit to the pastor, submit to the priest, submit to a religious leader, but submit to God. Just don't submit to any human being. Don't surrender your soul and your heart and your mind to a human being. Surrender your mind and your will to God, to the one living God. And he will protect you and bless you. Are you running away from God? Have you put off returning to God? If you have, don't assume it's too late. You may say, well, no, I have never accepted God, or I've never made a commitment to God. I've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for our sins. I've never done that. And so, what do you mean return? Well, that's even better. If you've never done it, you have never experienced the change that takes place in your life. The change is, it may be very gradual to some, but it could be very so sudden, like the difference between day and night. It is never too late to return to God. No matter what the situation is, it can be worse. It can't be worse than being in the belly of a fish. Would you rather stay where you are? Would you rather stay in your troubles? Would you rather stay in the belly of the circumstances you find yourself, confused, not knowing what church to go to, not knowing what religion to follow, not knowing who to marry or not knowing what to do with your children, not knowing how to find a job because you've lost your job. Not knowing makes you feel as if you are surrounded by those huge waves, or as if you are in the belly of a fish. And you raise your voice to God and say, God, I give up. I've tried my best. I've worked hard, and I talk to my children. I talk to my husband. He's not listening. I talk to my wife. She's not listening. What do I do? Well, what you must not do is, like you hear in the news, oh, I'm going to end my life, so I'm going to take my children with me. And this is what the devil does. That's what Satan does. Leads people to such a desperation that life means nothing and the life of your loved ones mean nothing. And then the devil is laughing his head off because he has won. God is ready to save you and restore you no matter where you are. May God have mercy on each one of us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for your message. Thank you for the example we have looked at, Jonah. Help each one of us to remain faithful to you. And if we have never made a commitment, if someone has never made a commitment to follow the living and full of miracles God, may this person look to you for hope and salvation. And may the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, our eternal Heavenly Father, have mercy on each one of us and strengthen us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.